The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS on a day where we are jam-packed with candidates for Colorado's Republican nominations on statewide offices this November to take back the state. We just spoke with candidate for U.S. Senate Gino Campana. At the bottom of this hour, Lang Sias, who is our inevitable nominee for state treasurer, will pop on the program. And at the top of the next hour, another U.S. Senate candidate, Eli Bremmer, is set to join us as well as we have conversations with the candidates. And those conversations continue at the top of this hour to kick things off with Greg Lopez, candidate for governor of our great state of Colorado, because, folks, Polis has got to go. Good morning, Greg. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Jimmy. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. It's always great to check in, especially as we are just a week away from the assembly. Let me start at the very top as I ask every candidate who comes on the program. Who is Greg Lopez and why are you running for governor of Colorado?
You know, Greg Lopez is a guy that, you know, understands the challenges that the state's facing. You know, my background, Jimmy, has allowed me to really dig deep into a lot of the economies and what's going on and, you know, how Colorado is losing its state. I'm not liking where we're heading. You know, a lot of people are not happy that it feels like more and more in California. You know, and so I've been working out there, talking to a lot of people, and you're absolutely right. Governor Polis needs to go, and I'm the candidate that can not only take votes away from him from the urban corridor, but I'm going to be able to bring a lot of unaffiliated voters onto our side because – they're ready for a message from someone that truly is electable and really has the truly experience to be the next governor of Colorado. And it's been way too long since we had a Republican governor. It's time.
So tell us a little bit about your experience, Greg.
Well, you know, I was a mayor in Parker, Colorado. I was a strong mayor. What that means, Jimmy, is that not only was I the mayor, but I was a city manager at the same time. So all the department heads reported directly to me. You know, I was elected at the age of 27. I sat on the board of E-470, so I understand transportation. I sat on the board of the Denver Regional Council of Government, so I understand, you know, air quality, water, growth issues, economic development, all the challenges when it comes to how it's growing and the more population coming in. I'm also a small business owner. You know, I am also the former director of the United States Small Business Administration. So, you know, I represented over 635,000 small businesses across the state. And my job was to make sure that they survived and thrived. So I worked with bankers. I worked with contractors. I worked with a lot of different agencies to make sure that small business was always successful. And I'm also the former president of the Denver Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And I'm a veteran. You know, I'm a disabled vet, and as you know, we have 5 military bases here in the state of Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so important to recognize that aspect of our society, our community, and our economy, which actually brings me to one of the top issues everybody is concerned about, Greg Lopez, and that is the economy. Of course, we've got Bidenflation that's going through the roof at this point. The cost of everything is skyrocketing in Colorado. We're seeing the cost of housing go up, food prices, businesses that are struggling to get by, especially because they were forcibly shut down by the Polis administration and overzealous local bureaucrats and elected officials as well, who said, we know what's best for the business community. What do you think needs to be done? What would you do as governor to revitalize the economy?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. One of the things, and you're absolutely correct, you know, the governor really decimated small business. So in my administration, we're going to make sure that they don't pay sales tax. Small business does not pay sales tax to the state at all, because they need to keep as much of that money as possible. And also, that helps the customers as well. I'm going to remove the fees that this governor has been so eager to put in, right? They circumvent Tabor, the taxpayer bill of rights, by putting fees. Those fees need to go away. You know, I'm going to make sure that we start working with the Small Business Administration along with the Small Business Development Centers to make sure that we are helping small business understand the complexity of how to be successful. I'm going to be working with the bankers on a Community Redevelopment Act, making sure that they're giving the right loans and so forth. When it comes to the housing, you know, I've dealt with developers, I dealt with land use, I understand all of the planning processes, and I'm talking to builders as we speak and developers about how we're going to reduce the fees for water taps and sewer taps, and also look at smaller footprints for these housing so that we can have true first-time home buyer inventory out there for the younger couples. You know, Colorado's in a crisis. Everywhere you look, we're in a crisis. And my background allows me to fully understand how we can turn this economy around. You know, I know personally the ambassador from the United States to Mexico talking about the maquiladoras and how we might be able to bring even more economic engine into the San Luis Valley and other places to make sure that, you know, every county across the state is thriving.
Again, Greg Lopez, candidate for governor, joining us. You mentioned the fees that they circumvent Tabor with. The Democrats have been under Polis's so-called leadership. Of course, last year he said at a Steamboat Institute conference that he supports a zero income tax. My immediate reaction was, yeah, what about the fees that you signed into law? Brand new ones just that very same year. One thing, and I wrote about this in a column last week, Greg, is what we need to watch out for Polis trying to pull the wool over our eyes, because he's acting in this election year like he cares about what's happening with crime, and we'll get to that in a moment, like he cares about keeping taxes low in so many different areas. Heck, he pretends that he's going out on a, you know, clay shooting and having a stand for gun rights. That's the subtle implication that he's trying to give. So what about that election year Polis on taxes and more?
Well, let me tell you, you're absolutely correct. Look, I'm going to call him out. I'm going to call him out on all of his pivoting, all of this maneuvering that he's doing, because the people truly understand that our quality of life, Jimmy, for the last 3 years has not gotten better. It's gotten worse under his administration. He's proven that he doesn't know how to govern. He has no clue on how to really take care of the livelihoods of the 64 counties of this state. And so I'm going to hold him accountable for that. And I am going to challenge him and say, you know, it's interesting how all of a sudden when it's an election year, you decide to do things that we all know. We all know that's not your nature. We saw it when you first told us about the oil and gas industry. Mm-hmm. You know, when we said as a people, leave oil and gas alone, and you were giving the indication that you supported that. When he took office, what did he do? He decimated oil and gas. So he's got a track record, and I'm going to hold him accountable for that.
Greg, in the issue of crime, I mean, this is, it is an epidemic where we, in so many ways, because we have seen violent crime go up. We have seen property crime go up. Of course, I'm sure you recall, I was in 2020 a victim of two-time victim of auto theft. I had really bad karma that year. It was quite something, but that has only gotten worse since my experience in the summer of 2020. And that's just one example of property theft. Talk to me a little bit about crime, because Polis suddenly has said, only in his state of the state address earlier this year, that he wants to make Colorado, what was it, like a top 10 state within the next 5 years for a low crime. And I'm thinking, weren't we a lot better when you took office, Jared?
Yeah, well, yeah, to that point, Jimmy, look, he's created problem after problem after problem. And now it's catching up with him. You know, he never really reads the legislation that he signs into a law. He really doesn't analyze the totality of it and to try to forecast what the future is going to look like. Look, if he should get elected, which I know he won't, because I'm going to make him a one-term governor. You know, Colorado will become California and Denver will become San Francisco. These these laws that they're passing that, you know, makes auto theft not a felony but a misdemeanor, and they're wanting to make sure that these criminals that are taking our property and destroying property, that they're treated more fairly than the victim. I mean, just look at the legislation that they've been doing. And you know this, he's been silent throughout the entire time. That's not leadership. You know, he's standing back and saying, well, I got to sign this, or I'm going to let my bureaucracy, the agency, take care of it. That's not leadership. I'm going to be tough on crime. I want everybody to know that we're going to hold people accountable for their behavior and their actions under the Lopez administration. And we're going to make sure that we have strong prosecutors and strong judges. You know, our parole board needs to be reevaluated. We need to make sure that we send a strong message to everyone that in Colorado, not only are our communities going to be safe, but we're going to hold our criminals accountable for whatever actions they take.
Zero in for a moment, Greg Lopez, on fentanyl. Because not only are we seeing adults dying, but if you look at the data, it is the leading cause of death in Colorado for people ages 18 to 45. That's serious, and that actually ties in as well to a listener text question that just came in asking what you would do to advocate closing the flow of illegal immigrants crossing the southern border because, as the listener says, governors need to take a stand. And I don't think you can separate the fentanyl epidemic from what's happening at the southern border because that's how it's getting into the country, Greg.
No, you're absolutely right. You know what? Not only is it coming across the country, but I was talking, Jimmy, some very good individuals in the Denver higher-ups. You know what? They're mailing it in. They're mailing it in through the mail because there's no way to have a dog sniff it without the dog dying. You know, this is a crisis. We are really in a crisis when it comes to fentanyl. You know, I just read what a little toddler died, and their parents are being charged. Look, fentanyl is the most dangerous drug that we've seen in a long time. It's 10,000 times more potent and more addictive than any other drug that we have. And so it's also causing homelessness. It's causing all kinds of community issues. We got to get on top of it. You notice, again, the governor is silent. Well, I'm not going to be silent as governor. I'm going to make this a primary issue because we got to solve it. You know, we need to make sure that everybody understands how dangerous this is, not only for people, but how dangerous it is for our communities. And look, I'm going to make Colorado a 10th Amendment state. That is states' rights. And you're right. I'm going to make sure that the cartel and whatever we can do to stop the fentanyl coming in or minimize it to the best of our ability, because you know they get creative. They've always been creative. But we want them to know that in Colorado, if we catch you, you're going to pay the price for it because you're destroying lives.
Greg Lopez, again, Republican candidate for governor, joining us. You mentioned a little bit ago when we were talking about the economy, Greg, oil and gas and Polis's attack as governor on the oil and gas industry, which really traces back to Senate Bill 181 in 2019. Of course, the voters voted down Prop 112 on the oil and gas setbacks. And then he says, well, I don't care about that. I'm going to do you even worse with Senate Bill 181, and that was just a piece of what I call the green little deal that Polis has brought on. It is a mentality that he's got that is shared by Joe Biden just a couple of days ago. I think it was Thursday. Biden had a press conference in which he said the following.
Ultimately, we and the whole world need to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels altogether. We need to choose long-term security over energy and climate vulnerability. We need to double down on our commitment to clean energy and tackling the climate crisis with our partners and allies around the world.
He doesn't care, Greg, and nor does Polis care about making sure that Coloradans can afford gas at the pump, and they are leading together in tandem a full-throated assault against our oil and gas industry.
Well, let me tell you, Jimmy, here's what they don't care about. When you really look at it, they don't care about the poor. They don't care about the middle class because that's the people that are being hurt the most. You know, single moms that are trying to make ends meet, you know, and all of a sudden they have to pay $40, $45 to fill up their tank,
right,
you know, to get their kids to school or go to the grocery store to go to work. They don't care about the poor. This is their message. You know, they're trying to squeeze as much money out of the poor and middle class as they can. And they're using this whole environment, this whole fossil fuel, it smokes and mirrors. You know that. I know that. More people need to be aware of that because that is the truth. And you're right. You know what? When we look at America, why are we relying on other countries? We have the resources right here. Colorado alone has the ability from ground to refineries. We can create our own gas. And I'm talking to the gas industry about how do we make sure that we create gas here in Colorado so that the prices of gasoline or the price of a gallon of gas comes down. And I'm not going to enforce that, you know, or I'm going to try to figure out how I don't have to enforce that, you know, that new road impact fee. Mm-hmm. You've heard of it. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to come in 2023. That is just so
road
wrong.
Road impact fee. Yeah. That's. Yeah. Don't you like their language, the way that they word things?
Right.
So in terms of oil and gas, like it's so crucial to our economy in this state, and yet they don't give a damn about it, Greg, because they instead are only focused on what can we do to address climate change and control the nature of the economy. I mean, Biden's talking about transforming our economy. You have the Office of Just Transition. Doesn't that sound nice and Orwellian? Polis's Office of Just Transition. I mean, the mentality of these people is stunning, isn't it?
It is. It really is. You know, and they do love to use those little funny little feely words, right? Because they think people are going just to feel warm and fuzzy inside because of how they're using them, when actually they're destroying our quality of life.
Yeah.
They're destroying our economies and they're destroying our country. And this is where people need to wake up. And I'm going to be that voice. I'm going to challenge them, and I'm going to let everybody know, you know, what happened while under his administration and what Biden's doing in our country. Jimmy, this is our time. We as Americans, we must step up. We have to save our state. We have to save our country. Our children are relying on us. You know, there's generations that we will never see that need to understand that once again, we must be a world leader in all aspects.
Just a few minutes left with our guest, Republican candidate for governor, Greg Lopez. Let's talk about the pathway forward. Greg, of course, a week from today is the Republican State Assembly. That's the first step for you to qualify under the primary ballot, then secure victory in the primary, and then secure victory in November. That's the best case scenario for the Greg Lopez campaign. What is your pathway forward to securing the nomination? And then in the general election, how would you go about winning that should you secure the nomination?
Well, look, you're right. Saturday is a big day for us. I feel good. We've been talking to delegates. You know, we already know there's a candidate on the primary ballot. And so we're looking to see who's going to join that candidate on the primary ballot. I believe I am the right voice, the right face, and the right individual with the most experience. I'm the most electable when you look at in its totality, all the different types of voters are out there. The Republican vote, the unaffiliated vote, the Democrat vote. I'm going to be a governor for all of us. You know, I'm just one guy that's trying to be out there and helping all the people. And so we're going to get we're going to get onto the primary ballot come Saturday. And then how I'm going to win the nomination and beat Polis is by working hard in the urban corridor. I've been doing it already. Look, Democrat voters are ready for a change. How do I know that? They've been telling me that, Jimmy. I've been talking to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I've been talking to LULAC. I've been talking to the NAACP. I've been talking to union leaders. I've been talking to small business owners.
Sure.
I've been talking to pastors and priests, and they're out. The church is starting to wake up. And everybody's saying, look, Greg, you win your nomination. We're not going to change parties, but we're going to make you the governor of this state.
Greg Lopez, final question for you, sir. Where can people go to learn more about you and your campaign for governor? And a final word for folks listening today.
You know, go to my website, Lopez2022.com. Learn more about me. Make a contribution to the campaign. This is our time. It is our time. We the people. It's time for the people to take charge again. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put people over politics. I'm going to make sure that we shrink our government to the size where they're not interfering with our daily lives. So our finest hour is in the horizon, Jimmy. We just need to get behind the right candidate, support him, and make sure that we do everything we can to make Governor Polis a one-term governor.
Greg Lopez, we'll see you next Saturday. Thank you, sir, for joining us to talk about you and your campaign.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Have a good one.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the inevitable nominee for state treasurer, Lang Sias, will rejoin us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show to talk about his bid for that position. We need to write the course, and that means all hands on deck. I'm Jimmy Sengenberger. It's News Talk 710 KNUS. Ah, the Allman Brothers Band. We got two Allman Brothers bumpers this morning as we get rolling once again on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Top of the hour, one more candidate will join us who is vying for a nomination next Saturday at the Colorado Republican State Assembly. Eli Bremmer, running for U.S. Senate, will join us then. But first, here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, I am very pleased to welcome back to the program somebody who, as of now, is unopposed and will be inevitably, I'm confident, our nominee to be the next treasurer of the state of Colorado. Former state representative Lang Sias joins us once again here on the program. Good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning, Jimmy. It's great to be back. I like your music, by the way.
I have the best bumper music known to man, so, you know, it stands to reason that that you would like it, Lang. I just saying, you know.
It's good wake-up music.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I will fight anybody any day of the week and twice on Saturdays, if you want to call in, that the Allman Brothers are the best band in history, and I will stand by that every day.
They're pretty awesome, that's for sure.
What kind of music do you like, Lang? I know it's
I like anything that comes out of a blues background. I tend to like. So I was thinking of Stevie Ray Vaughan when you
Oh my gosh. See, literally first song coming home from the hospital as a newborn baby, I kid you not, was Stevie Ray. Queued up in the car for my parents.
Very nice.
See, I didn't realize this. I didn't realize you were a brother in the blues, Lang Sias. Now I really want to see you as our next treasurer.
All right. Well, it's good to be back with you this morning.
It's good to have you. So let's jump right to it. Who is Lang Sias? Why are you running to be our next treasurer?
Well, I think you know a little bit of my background, Jimmy, so I'll try and keep it brief. But as you mentioned, served for several years in the legislature representing Jefferson County. And I think built a pretty solid reputation as somebody who was going to stick up for our conservative principles, but at the same time, find a way to get good things done. And in the legislature was able to pass first in the nation pro-school choice legislation, which I'm very proud of, defended our taxpayer bill of rights. I happen to think that the voters have a right to vote on tax increases. And was part of a successful bipartisan effort to do some very important and necessary reforms in our state pension system. So proud of that work. Served for 27 years in the military, active duty Navy fighter pilot, Top Gun instructor, and then switched over to the Air National Guard and retired from the Air National Guard a few years ago. Grew up in a small business with literally a machine shop in the basement, and my first job was sweeping up metal shavings off the floor of that shop, and have a great deal of gut level respect for people trying to build something, and also the impact that government has on small enterprises like that in particular. So that's a little bit of background. Live out here in Jefferson County with my wife of 23 years and three school age kids, and running for treasurer this year because I want to. Got a passion for public service, and I want to continue to serve as a watchdog and a watchdog for transparency and accountability and a friend of the taxpayers in a time when we've been dominated by one party, both at the state and federal level. And I think you and I have both seen the results of that, inflation being the biggest one that everybody is feeling. And I'm sure you guys are talking about that in any number of your candidate discussions this morning.
In fact, we've talked about it in both of our conversations before you, Lang Sias. That's just wax on that topic for just a moment. I mean, when you at the struggles of the people of Colorado and Americans across the country with affording everything, it really is just stunning, not only how fast things are rising because of Bidenflation, but even more how dense the Democrats have been. When it comes to this issue, how out of touch, where they're making excuses, you know, got Biden up there saying, oh, it's Putin's price hike, as though anybody's believing that kind of drivel.
Well, yeah, I think everybody knows that that gas prices were bumping up against $4 a gallon long before Vladimir decided to move into the Ukraine. This has been coming for a long time, and it has been predicted for some time, and not just by Republicans. I mean, as I'm sure you're aware, if you go back into last year, you'll hear prominent Democrats, Larry Summers, probably the most prominent of them, warning that we had an inflation problem that was deep and broad and pervasive. We've also heard it from Jason Furman, who was head of President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors. I saw an article recently from Doug Friednash, who was in the Hickenlooper administration here in Colorado, respected guy, talking about the impact of it. And I think Democrats have been very, very slow to pick up on this as a problem. And now, once it gets going, which it certainly has, it is very, very difficult to stop and very, very difficult to engineer what they call a soft landing, where you're able to throttle back on inflation and at the same time not tumble your economy into a recession. It's a very, very difficult needle to thread.
Now, of course, as state treasurer, you have no effect on inflation per se, but you do have a bully pulpit. And in general, whether we're talking about the pension system, we're talking about economic issues, we talk about the budget. You and I have spoken before about the power of the bully pulpit that generally has gone unused. I mean, Walker Stapleton, who you ran alongside when you ran as lieutenant governor, or the lieutenant governor nominee in 2018, Lang, of course, he used the bully pulpit as much as he could on Paris specifically, but I think there are a lot of opportunities for that sort of conservative vision on economic growth and prosperity and keeping the size, scope, and expense of government down. That there's a real place for that in terms of the bully pulpit of the treasurer that hasn't really been tapped into before.
Well, there absolutely is a place for it, and I think if you look back at some of our previous Republican treasurers, whether it was Bill Owens, who was a treasurer before he became governor, Mike Kaufman, Mark Hillman, and as you mentioned, Walker, each in their own way have used the office.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To have used the office to essentially advocate on behalf of taxpayers to say, hey, you know, we need a voice for reasonable common sense policies. And I think that is more important now than ever because we have been dominated by one party at the state and federal level for some time now. Yeah. And we've seen the impact. You know, you probably saw CNBC does a rating each year of how business friendly each state is. And Colorado from 2020 to 2021 got much worse on that rating scale. It went from number 11 to number 29 in 1 year. And I would argue that it really didn't happen over 1 year. It happened over the 3 years since the Democrats took over every branch of government in Colorado. And we have policies and regulations and taxes and fees here that let's just assume they may be for well-intentioned purposes, but cumulatively they beat up on businesses and families and add to the costs of inflation. And I think it's pretty interesting that the so-called inflation relief program that we're seeing coming out of our state government this year, which is going to provide a pittance of relief for the average citizen. Sure. But it amounts to rollbacks and postponements and timeouts from programs that the Democrats have enacted. And isn't that sort of a validation of the right. argument that these things were maybe poorly designed and poorly thought out in the first place?
Yeah, I think that's well said. Just a few minutes left with our guest, Republican candidate for state treasurer, Lang Sias, real briefly, and we'll have you back in studio at some point after the assembly between then and the general for a full hour discussion, and we can delve into greater depth. But in a nutshell, to the greatest extent you can put para, a pension system that has so many issues plaguing it, into a nutshell, what would you want to see accomplished in terms of making sure that that public employee retirement program actually does what it's supposed to do and doesn't continue along a track that has been concerning in so many ways financially?
Well, what I would say is, and as you mentioned, this is a very big subject that right. we could spend a lot of time on. The reforms that we got passed in 2018, which were bipartisan, and I will give credit to the people we worked with to get these done, absolutely, on both sides of the aisle. But those reforms put PARA on a much better trajectory than it had been previously. What we need going forward is to be very disciplined and focused in staying on that trajectory and making sure that we don't deviate from it in ways that are politically convenient in the short term, mm-hmm. but make it very difficult for it to gain fully funded status down the road. I'll give you one example if we have a moment.
Real quick, go ahead.
Sure. Bottom line is, in this year's budget, there was roughly $380 million set aside to both make up for funding that was not provided in 2020 and to make up for the time value of that money that was lost. Some of that money is going to sit in reserve here for a while, making very low interest. The sooner that money gets into PARA so that it starts generating 7.25%, the better it's going to be for PARA's fully funded status. So I would encourage the legislature to make that happen as quickly as possible. We could talk about this in much greater detail.
And we will.
The bottom line is it takes discipline and focus and an independent voice on the board of PARA, which I will be as the state treasurer.
Lang Sias, inevitable Republican nominee for state treasurer. Where could people go to learn more about you and your campaign? And a final word for folks in advance of next week's assembly.
Well, thanks, Jimmy. And the website is Sias for Colorado. It's spelled S-I-A-S for Colorado.com. That's the website. Please go there, and would certainly appreciate your support. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on this morning, Jimmy. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And best of luck to you. You will get the nomination. I'm glad you're running and appreciate you bringing that experience and expertise to the table. Thanks for stepping up.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day. And keep the good tunes playing.
Oh, you know it. Every Saturday. That's for darn sure. Thank you. Once again, Lang Sias, running for state treasurer, joining us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We're going to take a break. We will be back with more on News Talk 710 KNUS. Is there a change in the weather about to happen? The current political weather, that is, here in Colorado. Well, this song by Buddy Guy sounds like it's not the best kind of change in the weather. I think there's a positive change in the weather to happen this November in Colorado, and I certainly hope that is the case. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, a flurry of candidate conversations this morning, starting with Gino Campana for U.S. Senate, then Greg Lopez for governor, Lang Sias for state treasurer. He will be the nominee because he's the only candidate running for that position. And at the top of this hour, we'll be joined by Eli Bremmer, who is, of course, running in the Republican primary for United States Senate. Looking forward to that conversation. So here is a quick update in the saga of, well, the slap heard around the world.
Oh, wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me. Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay?
Well, Will Smith has resigned from the Academy after the slap heard round the world. New York Times reporting that Will Smith, who slapped the comedian Chris Rock at the Oscars, said Friday that he was resigning from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, saying that he had, quote, betrayed its trust with conduct that was, quote, shocking, painful, and inexcusable. I have directly responded to the Academy's disciplinary hearing notice, and I will fully accept any and all consequences for my conduct. I deprived other nominees and winners of their opportunity to celebrate and be celebrated for their extraordinary work. I am heartbroken. Change takes time, and I am committed to doing the work to ensure that I will never again allow violence to overtake reason. Well, doesn't that sound just nice? Here's the thing. In my view, this proves, well, it's sort of the nail in the coffin, that the conspiracy theory, and that's what it has to be, that Will Smith, that this whole thing was staged for Will Smith to slap Chris Rock, that is a conspiracy theory. It was not staged. There is actually, now this isn't him being arrested, sure. Do you really think a Hollywood guy is going to be arrested, or that Chris Rock wants to really push that issue? And the police aren't going to take initiative there. It's Hollywood, people. That was never going to happen. But the fact that he resigned from the Academy and is going through these proceedings, I think that's actually an important indicator of this. And also, the fact that he deprived other nominees and winners of their opportunity to celebrate and be celebrated, as he said, that pisses off everybody else in Hollywood. That this whole week's been about Chris Rock and Will Smith, not them. And they've got egos, too. It wasn't staged, folks. Eli Bremmer up in the next hour. We'll take your calls, too.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.